We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Beaver Sports Podcast. Here are your hosts, Mike Parker and John Warren.
Welcome into this week's edition of the Beaver Sports Podcast. Mike Parker and John Warren, joined by Brandon Kipper, brought to you in part by Benny's Buddies, the official fan club for your favorite pets. Benny's Buddies is available to all pets in Beaver Nation. To sign up your pet, go to osubeavers.com/Benny's Buddies to get your pet enrolled as part of Toyota's Benny's Buddies Pets Club at Oregon State. An honor to be joined by the Beaver starting right tackle, Brandon Kipper, in this rivalry week. Brandon, thanks for your time. What's going through your mind? You know, we're midweek here now, Brandon, with a huge game and a great season you've already had. What's kind of your mindset, your thoughts about taking the field Saturday and potential Pac-12 North championship on the line? Just what are your thoughts about all of that?
Reload, recalibrate, and we go at it. I just think it's another week. Obviously, it's a big week. It's a civil war. I mean, it doesn't get much bigger than this for us, so pretty excited to get after it, but at the same time, just got to approach the same way we've been approaching every game this season. Just same mentality, just improve, learn from what we did last week, what we did well, what we did bad, and just come up with a good game plan and attack it.
Brandon, in approaching it in the same way every week, I'm wondering if you, as a veteran leader on this team, can speak to what you've done the last 2 weeks at home. And now you go back out on the road again. The previous two road games were not as productive. Maybe you didn't execute quite as well. Can you put your finger on anything that you hope to kind of get over the hump when it comes to the road this Saturday and executing the way you have at home all year long?
I think anytime you go on the road, there's obviously that aspect where you got to bring your own energy. We always say BYOE. We are all we got. We're all we need. But you play at home, it's really easy to let the crowd kind of fuel that energy, fuel that focus. You go on the road, it's one of those things where you don't got that. You kind of yourself. So I think definitely going this week, it's a big environment, really loud environment. It's one of those things, there's going to be energy surrounding us. It might not necessarily be for us, but we got to learn how to channel that, learn how to bring our own, and just bring that juice.
Brandon Kipper, our guest on this week's edition of the Beaver Sports Podcast. Brandon, you're from, I guess, is Caldwell, Idaho considered the Pacific Northwest? I guess it is. You're from the area. You understand all about rivalries. Is there a little more to this one? I mean, is there maybe a few extra punches or squeezes at the bottom of a pile?
I grew up, in Idaho, Boise State, Idaho. It was always the rivalry when I grew up. And that was one hell of a rival. But I came here, and I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. Yeah, it's a little different here. This one means a lot to a lot of people around here. I won't say it gets dirty, but it's football. And, I mean, both teams want to win. Both teams want to claim the state. I mean, we had a good one last year, and obviously we want to come back. We want to stamp that mark again. We get after it. It's fun.
was last year's win something that propelled you guys that really helped? I know the record was 2-5, should have been better than that. Some close calls here and there, and it would have, but at the same time, you look at 2-5, do you at least say that one of those two was against a very good Oregon team?
I mean, yeah, no, I mean, that, obviously that game last year, I think, was not only big for us, but big for everyone to kind of see, like, hey, we're here, we're that team, we're just right there. We can play with these teams. We can beat these teams. I think it was a good confidence booster for not only us, to just kind of say, hey, like, we're better than maybe our record shows. We just need to play up to that level. And I think so far this year, we've done a good job at kind of showing that time and time again, that, like, hey, like, we've been at this level. Like, you guys might just now be seeing it, but we've been here. And we're going to continue to improve, continue to get better, and continue to show you who we are.
Brandon, when you referenced the noise level, and it will be very loud at Autzen on Saturday afternoon, do you guys have plans for any sort of loudness in road games in terms of how you communicate to each other up front? I mean, are there just hand signals, touching? I mean, how do you go about dealing with the noise factor?
We've played loud games before. You just got to be loud. Everyone's got to be on the same page. We as an O-line, we try to make a really big deal about seeing everything through the same set of eyes. Should get to a point where we almost don't need to communicate. We almost don't need to say anything because we're all on the same page. We all see it the same way. Me and Noose, we've been playing together now for, 3 years? We've played a lot of football next to each other. There's a lot of games where it might not even be loud, but we're on the same page. We see things the same way. We go the same direction. We do the same thing. It's just kind of got to be executed like that throughout this week. Obviously, it is a loud environment, but as long as we can see everything the same way, obviously, whatever our signals are, but see everything the same way and be able to just go out there and react to what we know will be fine.
You know, a team that wasn't fine, and I know you can't speak to their own issues, but 7 false start penalties against Arizona State, against you guys Saturday night. What are those usually a function of? Is it not being on the same page? I mean, that's on them and what they do. I'm not trying to say that all offensive lines are vulnerable to noise. It was pretty loud at Reser. But when you see that, Brandon, usually what's going on when there's so many false starts?
Obviously, I won't speak to Arizona State. I got nothing but respect for them. But in my experience, when you have one or two false starts, it's typically either a lack of communication, guy didn't know we were on. It's loud, something small. But once you get to like the higher ends of having more than 5, I'd say false starts, it's a lack of focus. It's kind of just, it's guys, maybe the crowd's getting in their head. It's getting so loud that you can't really lock into what you're supposed to be doing, lock into your job, lock into the cadence. Everybody's different. Every line's different. Every cadence is different. I don't know what they were going off of, but it's one of those things that throughout the week you kind of got to lock in on, and you got to kind of prepare for that noise so that when you're in that situation, you can lock in on it, not lose your focus because it's so loud.
Interesting. And when you guys go to the famed Coletto package, it's a little different sound if he's taking the direct snap than when Chance Nolan is in, but you guys have worked well enough to know kind of the differences in tone and cadence with different quarterbacks.
Yeah, like I said, that's one of the things you work throughout the week. I mean, we don't just throw Jack, as much as people would like to believe, we just throw Jack out there on Saturday. He comes over and we get a lot of work in with him.
Right.
He works his butt off. So, no, we get a lot of work in. He's good with cadence. We've learned to get on his cadence and just kind of go with things. No, it's one of the things you just work throughout the week, so when Saturday comes, it's easy.
How much joy, pride, thrill did you take went on 4th-and-2. He essentially sealed the game with that play. Tremendous, blocked so well, and he got outside. Brandon, what does that do for you guys as a collective group when you see a play like that?
I mean, I didn't know Jack had speed like that. So
a lot of people do.
I'm pretty happy to see him bust it. It was pretty cool. It's always one of those cool things. I get people pride, which gives us that opportunity. I know he has a lot of respect for us up front, and obviously we have the greatest amount of respect for him. So I appreciate when he gives us the opportunity to go for it on 4th-and-2, and I really appreciate it when we can take advantage of that and give the team a big opportunity, a big moment like that. So, no, I take a lot of pride and a lot of joy. It was a really cool moment. I hope we have more moments like that moving forward.
Brandon Kipper, our guest on this week's edition of the Beaver Sports Podcast, brought to you by U.S. Bank. We know when you invest in a community, the community invests in you. We're committed to providing high-quality, innovative products and services that meet the needs and demands of our customers. U.S. Bank, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC. I want to go back to something that can be lighthearted. It's not anything aimed at any one position group, but I was just sitting here thinking when you're talking about false starts, Brandon, that there's two main positions that are maligned by the fans. They can see it on TV, and the referee does his microphone and calls you out, and that's linemen for holding and defensive backs for holding or pass interference, and the whole world sees it. if you hold, especially if it nullifies a great play by your offense, how do you feel? Mm-hmm. Is that individual? Are there guys that it just kills them? They can't get over it? I mean, what's that like to be spotlighted like that, especially if you killed a big play?
I mean, that's a tough one, but I've been doing this for a while now. I mean, you asked me this question 3-4 years ago, I probably told you it killed me. I mean, and it still does. It's a heartbreaking thing. The biggest thing I've learned over my 4 or 5 years playing football is you got to move on. You got to just reload, recalibrate. It sucks. It really does suck. In fact, I had one earlier in this year. We bust a good run, and I called for holding. It sucks. It's not fun. But one thing about playing a line is it's going to happen. I mean, it's a matter of time. It's going to happen. We try our absolute best to make it not happen. But when you're out there just playing, you're playing physical, you're running the ball as much as we are, it's going to happen. You try to eliminate it, but when it does, you got to be able to recalibrate and move on from it. Because if you let it stop you, if you let it drag on to you going into the next play, you're either going to have another one or you're going to get beat. So, I mean, for a lot of young guys, I think, yeah, it's one of those things where it might harp on them for a while. For me personally, I really just try to focus on the next play.
Yeah.
I mean, it sucks. Don't do it again. But focus on the next play so I don't do it again, so I don't get beat again. I mean, I think that's just football in general. I think you could say that for a lot of positions. A quarterback goes out there, throws an interception. You can't sit there and harp on it.
Right.
You got to move on.
Right.
So you're going to throw another one. It's the same thing, O-line, DB. Just play your game. I mean, if you're playing your game and it happens. If it happens on a touchdown, that sucks. But you know what? We'll go get another one.
Now, I'm sure I know the answer to this next question, but there may be a variation to your answer, and that is, I have to assume and hope that your current teammates, especially under the leadership of Jonathan Smith and Coach Mihalchik, that you guys support each other. There isn't anybody glaring at you in the huddle if you do that. But have you ever played on a team where there was a little bit of that, where guys would get on other guys, so at least with a glance?
I think there's been situations in past teams, definitely not this team, in past teams where, like, it's a big moment, something happened, maybe something that could have really been preventable, where guys are just like, come on, man.
Yeah.
But especially on this team, no. I mean, we're all out there just having fun. And I think that's what makes this team so special to me, is we're all out there just having fun. It feels like I'm in fifth grade at recess a lot of times. We're just out there best friends, just doing our thing. And so, you know what? Like, slip-ups happen. If a guy continually makes repetitive mistakes, then I think, yeah, the leaders in the team will come up and be like, hey, man, come on. Like, we can't keep doing this. We got to step up. But when it just happens, it happens. You move on from it. Everyone moves on from it. We reload. We go back at it. We attack again. And, yeah, I mean, you look back on it, maybe the next day when you're watching film, like, hey, this could have been prevented. Let's not do this. We don't even have this holding call. We don't even have this or that. But in the moment, absolutely not. No one's in the huddle like, bro. Like, it just... It does nothing but hold everyone back.
Yeah, no doubt. And if on a more positive note, and that one's not negative, I was just, you know, curious about it. It's like, man. And then collegiately, they started calling out numbers. They didn't used to do that until 5 or 6 years ago. But anyway, I have a question for you representing linemen, and that is, I always get this good feeling for linemen when a running back has a great run, and it ends up being a 15 or 20-yard run, and the lineman has been holding his block and pushing the guy downfield, and he doesn't know what's going on because you don't have eyes in the back of your head, but all of a sudden your teammate, the running back, ends up, you know, running into you, running over you, and you all come down into a big crash. And I always just imagine that the lineman who didn't know if what his effort was doing was being successful until his teammate got there, and then you crash into each other and you look up and you go, oh great, that's motivation to always try hard when you don't know if it's being successful or not.
I mean, yeah, that's funny you say that. It's one of the things I always give the backs crap. I don't know if I can say that, sorry. I always get on them because it's like you'll be blocking, you're driving a guy like 5-10 yards downfield, and it feels like there's a mile to your left and a mile to your right, and a backwards right to the back of you.
You
get a good laugh out of it because it's like, come on, man, I'm not that big. But no, it's great. It's awesome. You're just driving a guy, just running with him. All of a sudden, you're past the first down marker, and the ball's past the first down marker. It's just a great feeling,
Brandon.
You definitely love to see it bounce right next to you and gasp for it.
You know, you talk about and you share this with joy. You talk about you almost laugh about it. The 2000 Fiesta Bowl team was inducted into the Hall of Fame Friday. They were introduced at the game Saturday night. They had a guard on that team named Jared Cornell, an Oregonian out of the Dells. Jared told John and I a story during that Fiesta Bowl year 21 years ago where he, on a 34 counter play, Ken Simonton took it nearly to the house, about 70 yards, did get caught from behind. But Jared said he had delivered such a good block that he was just rolling on the ground laughing, watching Simonton run free. It was such a great moment for him. Do you have moments like that? Have there been moments when you knew you had done your job and you see whether it's Jamar or BJ or whomever running free that gives you a huge thrill?
Absolutely. There'll be moments that I'll remember for the rest of my life, moments that I tell my kids about, and there are moments just like that where, I mean, like I said, I'm just out there having fun. We're all just out there having fun. And so when you're out there having fun, you execute and you look up and it's for a big play and you know, oh, that ball just gashed right behind me. Absolutely. You smile, you laugh, get up, especially if you just dump the guy. Maybe you step over him and you just run down to your teammates. Those are the moments you remember forever.
Absolutely,
I have those moments.
Is there a lot of chatter at the line, or does that vary on who you're playing?
Depends on who we're playing. I'll say this. We're a quiet line. Us five are a quiet line, but it depends on who you're playing. Some teams like to talk more. Some teams are quiet, too, and it's just they're there for business, and yeah.
Last couple of things, Brandon. I know that they have a lot of great players Oregon has on defense. You see them week to week throughout this conference. They do have a guy that's talked about in glowing terms in Kayvon Thibodeau. He presents a challenge for everybody that he plays. I don't expect you on the podcast to give up. Well, here's our plan for him. But I guess I'm asking, is he a guy with his talent level and speed and skill and strength and all of that that you do have to have a plan for?
I mean, I have to have a plan for everybody. Thibodeau's a good player. Mm-hmm. I'm going to sit here. I'll give him his respect. He is a good player. I've played him 3 years now, 2 years, and this will be the third. And every year he's been good. He's gotten progressively better. But he's another guy. He puts pants on, too, with two legs and two arms. And I have a game plan for everybody I play each week. And every week I come out with a plan, what I work on for this guy. Mm-hmm. What is this guy good at? Because this is high level football. Every player is going to have a guy. Might not be projected to be the number one overall pick, but they got a guy. So I'm going to do the same thing this week. I got a plan. I'm going to practice. I'm going to work. And, you know, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to roll with it. And I look forward to playing the best. I genuinely do. I love getting the opportunity to line up against a guy like that because, you know what? That's where you get to see who the real man is. You get to see what you know. And I look forward to that.
Hey, final thing then, Brandon. I know that it's been a week-to-week proposition. You're only playing the team you're playing that week, and that's all you're thinking about. But you have been part of a team that has come into the final week of the regular season, and I can say it now, Rose Bowl hopes and dreams are still alive. I mean, you'll need some help on Friday. I think you're going to get it. But whatever the case, to have come this far this season into the rivalry game with those kinds of stakes, what does that mean to you and the guys?
I mean, it's really cool, especially being here through this whole rebuild process. There hasn't been a time where we've really had the opportunity this season to have those kind of things in front of us. Obviously, you wish you could go back and kind of put some more things into your own hands, some things that we should have gotten away from us, but you can't. But I think what's really important for us going forward is just win this game. And none of that matters if we don't win this game.
Right.
So it's really cool. It's an awesome thing to have in the possible future. But at the end of the day, none of it matters if you don't win the Civil War.
I have one last question. Do you have a favorite play, like if you get to pull, or any favorite play?
I have a few favorite plays. my all-time favorite play will forever and always be QBC. Let's just run the ball right down the middle. But I got a few plays. Like, I don't know if I'm necessarily allowed to sit here and tell you them.
Right.
Well, linemen always love traps. They
like
love to trap.
The ball goes behind me. How about we
say
that?
I got you. We like to see it too, Brandon. It's been great to watch your entire career and look forward to a lot more of it ahead here at Oregon State. Good luck on Saturday in the rivalry game. We'll be watching and looking forward to a great result. Thanks for the fun this season, Brandon. We appreciate it.
I really appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Brandon. Brandon Kipper, this week's guest on the Beaver Sports Podcast, brought to you in part by Dutch Bros, teaming up in a new way throughout the year for every point the Beavers have scored this season, and that includes on the road in the rivalry game. Dutch Bros gives enough to feed a single student for a month. The more the Beavers score, the more students. Dutch Bros help support, and our thanks to Dutch Bros and the Oregon State University Food Pantry. Boy, great conversation with it. We love offensive linemen. We've had some of our best conversations over the years with those tough guys up front, and Brandon is extremely talented.
They've always been good, and I'm glad to know and say, Doc, that this is not going to be the last Beaver Sports Podcast of the football season.
It is not.
Because of what they were able to do a couple of weeks ago. Oregon State has simplified and enhanced the fan experience. Now it'll be the last home game. We saw that. So we move on to other places. But while making game day safer for fans with the introduction of its new app, OSU Beavers Mobile, presented by your local Toyota dealers. And by the way, this of course applies to all the other venues for Oregon State. OSU Beavers Mobile, available now for free in the Apple App Store and Google Play Store, allows fans to manage all their game day ticket needs, including purchase and entry. Fans can also use the app to transfer tickets to friends and for access to game day parking. By downloading, Beaver Nation can experience exclusive discounts and deals, have the opportunity to win exclusive prizes, and participate in app-only game activations.
That's going to do it for this week's edition. A lot going on this week, including the OSU men's soccer team in the third round of the NCAA tournament at home against New Hampshire at Lorenz Field Sunday night at 6. There's a little football skirmish the day before at 12:30 in Eugene with a lot on the line, no matter what happens on Friday. Always a lot on the line in that rivalry game, and who knows what could be at stake with an opportunity for the Beavers. Yes, when we record the podcast this week, we utter the words Rose and Bull together because that hope is still alive. Johnny, good being with you. We'll see you again next week.
Sounds good.
And that'll do it for this edition of the Beaver Sports Podcast. So long, everybody.
This has been the Beaver Sports Podcast. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Beaver Sports Network.